the rest of the story. William, Chief Magistrate of Essex County, Massachusetts. William was perhaps the most dreaded man in mid-17th century America, especially by those who did not live up to his own Puritan ideals. When Quakers arrived in Massachusetts Bay Colony, Judge William persecuted them mercilessly. I mean, under his orders, they were arrested and beaten, even hanged. One Quaker woman, for the offense of simply being a Quaker and a woman, was sentenced to be stripped to the waist and dragged through the streets of Dedham and Salem and Boston, while a constable following behind viciously flogged her. Of course, Quakers were not the only offenders in Judge William's court. Eavesdroppers lost ears. Gossips lost tongues. Burglars were relieved of body parts as well. But not before a red-hot branding iron left the letter B on their foreheads. When Judge William died at a ripe old age, he left his considerable estate and his brutal disposition to his son John. But when John, too, became a judge, he wasted little time on Quakers and burglars. Instead, he specialized in witches. That's right. John was among those obsessed Puritan jurists who presided over the shameful episode the world remembers as the Salem witchcraft trials. Incriminating testimony, you may recall, either was rendered through torture or proceeded willingly from the lips of hysterical adolescent girls. And yet, before the tide of insanity had receded, 19 people and 3 dogs had been hanged as witches, and one man was crushed to death for contempt of court. Historians are quick to observe the misogyny shared by father and son, Judges William and John, their penchant, perhaps even their passion, for terrorizing defenseless women. And thus, with great remorse, did William's great-great-great-grandson reflect on the sins of his ancestors. The chief magistrate of Essex County, who once had a poor Quaker woman whipped bloody through the streets of 3 towns, and the infamous hanging judge of Salem, who in 1692 sent so many innocent women to the gallows, this was the heritage that weighed so heavily on the heart and soul of William and John's descendant, until finally, irresistibly, he unburdened himself in a book. In a book. For nearly 150 years, the world of literature has accepted that book on its own merits, pondering the poignant saga of womanhood, victimized by male self-righteousness and hypocrisy. But now you know that it is, in a manner of speaking, a book of judges, real judges, who beleaguered the brain of an author, who rose from their graves in the Salem Cemetery, just below the novelist's window, to haunt him and taunt him, inspiring thereby the story every school child knows. For once upon an imagining, there was a girl named Hester Prynne, seduced, abandoned, branded an adulteress in a heartless society invented by men. But now you've gazed upon the storyteller's own private humiliation, that rotten branch on the family tree of the author you know as Nathaniel Hawthorne, that rotten branch from which sprouted a classic tale entitled The Scarlet Letter. And now you know the rest of the story.